And as we've been swinging and swaying and jumping and jiving today on Swing Time, we're ready to go and let the Dearborn Journal come on in. So, till next week, stay tuned for the Dearborn Journal on WHFR Dearborn.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. I'm your host, Jay Koronick. Happy to be with you today. Joining me in the studio is my co-host, Ned Apigian. So, Ned, this is the mic check time. How are you doing out there?
Well, it depends on how the mic checks. Can they hear me?
I hear you just fine now. Great. So you're loud and clear to the rest of the world. Okay. Let's see here. Okay, so what we do here is we go over local news from the Dearborn Times-Herald, the Dearborn Press and Guide, and wherever else we can find it on the internet, that is things in and around the Dearborn-Detroit area that relate to, well, things that maybe aren't covered so much, or if we can scoop the big media, the other radio and TV stations, then we try to do that. So as we've done the last couple of weeks, we've been tracking, just in the first 5 minutes, the General Motors situation.
And here's the latest?
Well, the latest is, right from the New York Times and their website, just 10 minutes ago, in Frankfurt, Germany. This is part of the big GM picture. Of course, General Motors is a world car company. They do make cars all around the world, every major continent, I think.
And part of the problem is that we have to deal with European governments. It's just not so easy. Chrysler doesn't have that problem.
I thought Opel, they could sell that off because it was making a profit. This article says Opel has not been making a profit. Of course, sales are down for all kinds of cars worldwide, but it has a great potential. It's a big company. It employs, and I'm just paraphrasing here, folks, because it does go on for a while, it employs 50,000 workers in Europe, GM Europe and Opel together, 50,000 workers, and half of those are in Germany.
Well, it's a German company.
Well, Opel is a division of GM that's based primarily in Europe, and as I said, most of the... So it's a very big concern there. Well, some people may remember that Fiat, who's in negotiations to be a part owner of Chrysler, or actually control Chrysler, I guess, and I didn't know this. I see in this article that Fiat has got this offer to manage Chrysler and so on. They didn't have to put any cash down. The U.S. government is not requiring any cash up front from Fiat in order to take over Chrysler. That was interesting. Obviously, once they own it, if they don't want to lose a lot of money, they're going to have to invest in it. So the money would come after the fact. But the Opel thing, they need money up front.
I think there's some stimulus money they will get later.
Yeah, from our government.
Right.
But apparently Fiat doesn't have to put any money up front. Anyway, here's the thing, is that Fiat, because they're concerned about Chrysler and actually Opel looked like it was losing an awful lot in the last year, but the Fiat was never allowed to look at the actual books.
Whose books? General Motors?
Opel's books. And so that's why they boycotted a meeting earlier today, which, Friday started earlier in Germany,
of course. Six hours anyway.
6 hours ahead. And Fiat's, they boycotted this meeting about the decision, but it seems that Germany wants to move ahead. This is the political push to get something in place. So at this point, and it's not totally confirmed, there'll be an announcement later this afternoon to make it
so
official
Fiat
from GM.
Wants Opel as well as Chrysler?
Yes. Yeah, they were making a bid, and they still would like to make a bid, but they sort of backed out of this meeting because they said, we don't have enough financial information, and they were kind of thumbing their nose at the German government. Well, the German government went ahead and selected Magna. Magna is a Canadian-Australian company. Now, they're based in Aurora, Ontario, right next to us here, the province of Ontario in Canada, but they have...
There are no Canadian auto companies other than the American brands.
They have deep experience in assembling cars for other people. For example, at its Austrian subsidiary, a Magna Steyr, or Steyr, S-T-E-Y-R, they've been building BMW X3s, the sport utility, which...
I had one, not currently.
Sorry, you got to keep up, Ned. I keep changing cars every couple of years.
So you get an X5 now?
I bought the X3 in 2004,
okay.
And great car, and the Austrian plant, better quality control, apparently, than even the BMW plant in Munich, so they did a great job. Now, that's going to be, just for our American car-loving folks in the audience, the X3 and the X5 you mentioned, they're SUVs, and the new X1 that's coming out next year, which is a super small SUV from BMW, it's all going to be built in South Carolina.
Well, so, no wonder. There's no union there.
Well, okay, but still, I'm saying it will help U.S. workers a little more than having Magna Steyr build them in Austria. But starting in 2012, Magna Steyr was selected to build the Porsche Cayman and its convertible sibling, the Boxster, the Porsche Boxster, which are very
elite sports cars. European manufacturers.
Right. But in buying Opel, they will become a car maker, actually. And so they made a deal, and in fact, they've got some connections with the Russian market, not the Russian mafia, but the Russian market. They're going to cooperate with GAZ, which is not a gas facilitator, but it's a gas user. It's a Russian automaker, and they think that their market in Russia could be 5 million vehicles by the year 2015. So they see a big expansion. Now, Opel has always had a good reputation in Europe of being an extremely high-quality car.
It's very old brand, too.
Yeah,
we're
the
talking
brand's been
about
around
75-plus
right.
years.
GM bought it, of course,
after
in the last
war,
30 years. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, they may have owned it before the war.
I don't think so because of the Hitler thing. I don't know if he'd allow anybody to own his companies, you know, while he was in power. But, you know, an outside country owning anything that was German during his... But it doesn't matter, folks. That I think it's good news. I just read this because, and I'm sharing this with you because... I think it's good news because GM will actually probably benefit from this sale. They will, of course, be able to get rid of Opel. Whether or not they make any direct cash on it, I don't know exactly how that goes. But
that's what they need is money, so
yeah.
That's crazy. If they
well,
just
it's better than
it up for
not,
nothing.
Yeah, not having anybody take it over. And Germany said, we don't have enough money to buy it and operate it ourselves, you know, as a nation, although apparently America has enough money to buy and operate GM. Which somebody joked was going to stand for Government Motors because of all the bailout money that's going into that. But what this means is also, and there is a new, yesterday in the Times reported, there's a new plan that GM has offered to its bondholders who have been holding out to the last minute. If they don't agree to the new plan, which is a little more generous than the old plan, then GM might have to go into bankruptcy. So, the reason I share these things is it seems like, and we won't know till next week, actually the U.S. government is making a decision Saturday,
June
tomorrow.
June 1st is supposed to be the date.
Yeah, but our U.S. government is making a decision tomorrow about the bondholder offer, and then June 1st, Monday, I think we'll probably hear officially whether or not they have to do the bankruptcy thing. Now, that may not be a bad way to go. Chrysler is going to have to go through bankruptcy, but it's happening so quickly, apparently, that it probably won't hurt their image. I mean, the whatever cars they have will still be able to be sold at the few dealerships they have left.
They've only lost about 25% of their dealerships. It's not like they lost two-thirds.
No, of course not. But they won't have any new models for 2 years because they have no money for R&D. So
that's not true. I think you told me that the Jeep has got a new model coming out.
Supposedly, if they've got the money from Fiat coming in, the 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee is the only new model that is actually close enough to be made. I mean, they've got everything ready. It's just, I guess, new stamping dies for the parts and so on that have to be installed in the lines. But there's no R&D needed. They've already got it all completed. There's no extra research and development money needed for the 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee, which it supposedly based on a Mercedes-Benz platform of all things, and it's supposed to be a really fantastic four-wheel drive car if you want a big SUV. The problem is Chrysler doesn't have any small cars. I mean, really small cars, really energy-efficient cars, and they won't until maybe, well, 2011 or 2012 when Fiat starts getting some of their cars over here.
That's what they'll have. They'll have the Chrysler dealership network to sell Fiats.
In a couple of years. Yeah, so they just got to hang on sort of and cross their fingers for a couple of years.
Why can't Fiat bring cars immediately?
So I'm not sure whether or not the worry about GM going into bankruptcy is an issue. The U.S. government has put a ton of money in there, but the bondholder new offer seems like it's good. If they go for that, they may not need a bailout. It's 25%. I think it was only 20% stake. It's 25% now. So they're getting like 5% more on their dollar. For the bondholders. So they're still losing 75% of their money, but they're getting something rather than nothing.
A bankruptcy
might give them nothing. Might. So.
Well, they're bondholders. Bondholders have first crack, so I don't know.
Well, I think it's up to the judge. No. Take it to the judge. Anyway.
I wonder what the judge is driving.
Well, the judges are selected by the U.S. government in this case, which judge they want to use. And so I think just like the judge that Chrysler is using, he is apparently moving so quickly, so matter of fact, he's just making decisions that are exactly right for the U.S. government and for Chrysler to make this happen quick. So there's been a lot of pressure politically put on these bankrupt court judges, or at least the one that's involved with Chrysler anyway. And so, but I think, I'm just saying for GM's sake and the sake of the company and the workers here in the Detroit area that are still in the Detroit area, it's good if they don't have to go into bankruptcy. And I'm just saying there's these two new issues, and the latest being that Opel will be sold. Not finalized, but later today it's expected the German government will announce that. So fairly good sources, according to New York Times, inside the German government say it's pretty much a done deal and Fiat is out. But Magna, and a Canadian-Austrian company, is going to become a car manufacturer by picking up Opel, and it'll continue to build cars for other people like the Porsche Cayman and Boxster. I looked at a Cayman a couple of years ago, by the way. I know Porsche, very expensive.
Very well.
I'd never been in a Porsche dealership, and they didn't give me free coffee, so I decided not to buy a Porsche.
You got to go to a Lexus dealer for free coffee.
I guess free coffee, okay. But and there weren't any discounts, obviously, at a Porsche dealership.
I don't know what Porsche Cayman is. Is it the Carrera thing?
No, it's the hardtop version of the Boxster.
Oh, the hardtop.
So it's a swoopy two-door coupe, the hardtop version of the Boxster, and it's just a couple bucks more. As long as you're paying $50,000 or $60,000, what's a couple thousand more or less, right? The Boxster is a little cheaper, being their convertible model. And both of them are going to be Magna Steyr, built in that Austrian company that built the super high-quality, I thought, BMW X3, which I did love. And
so what did you go to after the X3? I'm trying to remember.
I have a BMW sedan now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, American workers. It was built in Munich, Germany, but
you can't. Yep.
It's a three-door. But I'm thinking of one of those U.S.-made BMWs next time.
BMW has a 6 I saw go down
the
street.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was wondering what on earth that was. I followed it.
Well, that's $65,000 or more. But,
is that right?
Yeah, sorry. But Ned and I are high rollers here. We can talk about these things really well. High-rolling verbalists.
Actually, I'm interested in the Bentley coupe, and it's only $180,000.
Well, there you go.
But I found a used one for $69,000. It's still too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if we double your salary here at WHFR, which is zero.
Zero.
That still won't come close to that. Yeah. Okay, well, that's a GM story. We just wanted to update you, and that took 13 minutes, but I hope I'm just trying to be somewhat positive about happenings in this area, and GM avoiding bankruptcy may be a good thing. But even if it happens, the government will probably make it be a quick surgical move, but oh well. And it also means, too, that Magna Steyr is not going to lay off as many people, they think, as Fiat. Fiat would have laid off a lot of Opel workers, they think, if they took it over. And so Magna Steyr is going to keep almost all those workers going because they don't have, any other debts.
Where is Opel's production? Mostly in Germany? Or?
That's right. As I said, half of those 50,000 workers for Opel are in Germany. So Germany's very concerned about keeping them
employed. And whoever is pricing the price of gas today, I noticed it went up again.
Mm-hmm.
Like 280 something on Ford Road.
Yeah. No, you know,
I guess they really want to kill the car companies.
If you haven't heard it before, folks, and you don't usually hear it on the other major news media, but gasoline is artificially low-priced in the U.S. It is artificially low-priced to keep us hungry for gas, to keep us addicted to gasoline, to keep us buying slightly bigger cars than what we should be buying. In Europe, they've been paying the real-world price of gasoline.
$7 a gallon.
That's right. About double what we pay for years. But that is based on supply and demand, which is really, if you love that capitalism thing, that's what the pricing should be. And so, you know, and in fact, hey, they're a lot closer to the oil fields, except Colombia. I know they produce a lot of gas down in South America and Colombia. So that's nearer to our country. And it's true that years ago, we're talking about 30, 40 years ago, the U.S. oil reserves were producing, oh, maybe 60, 70% of our gasoline right here in the U.S. So you say, well, that's got to be cheap. That's the reason why it's cheaper. But we're hardly producing 10% of the oil that we use now. The gasoline comes from the oil, of course. And so the expectation, folks, is gas will not get cheaper. It may go up and down artificially here in the U.S., but in fact, the real-world price is closer, as Ned said, to about $6 or $7 a gallon. Why? Experts already say we've already been at peak oil. There's no more reserves they're going to find. Alaska, we know what they got. All the other gas that we might find is so, it will be so expensive to get out of the ground. In other words, it's a lot deeper, or it's got impurities in it that have to be refined. We're going to only, even if they find more gas reserves, more oil reserves, it's not going to be cheap. We found all the easy, cheap to find. You know, we always think, or I think of some things in the 50s. I saw that some farmer goes out in the middle of his field, oil is bubbling up in the middle of his corn or something, and all he's got to do is call a company and put a little pump there, and it keeps coming out barrels a day with just a little pump, because it's like almost just right under the ground is where that oil have. Well, that those days are over, folks. So peak oil, it's already happened. The peak has happened in oil production. It's only going to get more expensive and more scarce from now on, and most of the relatively reasonably priced gas will be gone within 20 to 30 years. 50 years if you're an optimist. Okay, and so we've got to switch now. We've got to buy smaller cars now because the price, even though you think, oh, it was cheaper last month, think 5 years. Maybe most people try to keep their cars as long as possible. You're going to buy a new car, it better be energy efficient because the gas will not stay cheap. And what about that diesel thing?
Which?
Diesel fuel.
It costs more now than it did before. It used to be cheaper.
It will drop. It will drop. Just because of the way it's manufactured, right? And when more people buy diesel cars, like the clean diesel Jetta, TDI as they call it, very clean. It set a world record at 58 miles to a gallon on the highway. Now, most of them don't get quite that, but especially with the Jetta. Now, you know, more expensive cars like they have a big V10.
Mercedes?
No, it's a Volkswagen Touareg, big SUV that's got a V10 diesel in it. BMW's got an X5 with a diesel in it now. But the extra price you have to pay for the car and that special engine, you won't make it back considering the cost of diesel today. So that's not a good deal. But the VW TDI Jetta, which is $22,000, $24,000, it is a fantastically well-made, and the engine will last a long time. Diesel engines are known to last longer, and the diesel price compared to gas prices is going to start being lower, and you're going to be able to get about 20 to 30% more gas mileage. And these are clean engines, clean, okay, cleaner than our gasoline engines. So right now, there's not really any choices that make any sense economically except the Jetta, the TDI, the diesel version Jetta. But people, it's not going to get cheaper. It's going to get more expensive. So let's just get in the right mindset here. You got to give up on the big gas hogs. You'll be sorry in a couple of years. I told you so.
Or you got to move from Exurbia. back to town.
Yeah, because Metro Transit will become a big idea, which is a disaster here in Detroit. The bus system it still exists, but it's nowhere like anywhere else in the country where they actually have bus lines and commuter trains.
I watched the Ford Road bus go by, and there's nobody on it except the driver.
Yeah. Well, that's strange. But, yeah, well, more and more people will be riding the bus. But the buses are in Detroit. They have a history. I'm not trying to say it won't work for you. Investigate, find out about them if you want to try to ride bus lines. But our students coming here constantly telling me that the buses don't stay on schedule. They're late very frequently. And they have to connect two or three different lines to get here, even if they're only 10 miles away. And they don't run all that frequently. I hate to always mention Austin, Texas, but that's the other city I'm familiar with. They had buses that run on every cross street every 10 minutes, all the way until about 2, 3 in the morning. Okay? I mean, and one ticket for $1.25 lets tourists ride all day long and on and off anywhere they want to go within about 40 miles east, north, south, and west. Unbelievable.
You bus know, system. Ours are timed here. I've learned how to take a bus from the airport to come home in case I wanted to.
Oh, cool. And where does that drop you? Fairlane Town Center? Or?
No, actually, in my case, it's very easy. It takes you, you can take the shuttle from the McNamara Terminal free to the new North Terminal, the one that they.
Right.
There's a bus stop there. It's 50 cents if you're a senior citizen, I think.
Really? So senior discounts. And where does it bring you into Detroit or into this area, Dearborn?
It goes out to up Middle Belt.
Okay.
Comes across Ford Road.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to get off at Middle Belt and Ford Road in order to come east and west on Ford Road.
Pick up another bus there,
Pick
maybe.
Pick up another bus going east and west on Ford Road, but you usually have to wait there 45 minutes to an hour, depending on when you got there.
Yeah.
But that Middle Belt bus goes all the way up to the northern suburbs.
Okay.
I mean, really up, 14, 15-mile road goes.
Again?
So you can go to the airport on a bus. But I forgot what you call the coupon. It's, what is it? The transfer.
The transfer pass.
You have to pay for that. It's 25 cents.
So there is no day pass for the Detroit
and
buses.
And it's limited. If you look at the time, you could only use that transfer within a two-hour period.
I said Detroit buses. The system is called
this
what?
Is smart.
Smart.
Right.
Okay. Well, is that the same thing as the regular buses that run in Detroit? No, smart is different.
Detroit, what do they call it?
It's not MDOT. Well, no. MDOT is the Michigan Department of Transportation, but it's some sort of Southeastern Michigan Transit Authority runs it.
Right.
It's not Detroit that runs it, but still, cutbacks and costs going up. Riding a bus is pretty expensive. I know our students seem to say they have to pay a couple bucks. I mean, the transfer included each time they get here from almost anywhere in Detroit. Well, this is Jay and Ned. The Ned and Jay Show, if you will.
Yeah, we should give a station identification so people don't know who they're listening to.
It's WHFR.FM, 89.3 on your FM dial, of course, or WHFR.FM, our website. You can listen to us live there, or go to the journal button and click on that, and after each Friday's show, we archive a copy there, and it goes back at least 12 weeks or so. Of course, why you'd want to hear old news, I don't know, but nonetheless, for those people that are senior citizens, we just mentioned seniors, you have to do segues. That's radio talk for making a transition smoothly. Mm-hmm. Any idea we can grab at, then we go to the next story that happens to have a same key word. So there, Gary Warrenchuk, Wayne County Commissioner for this area of Allen Park, Dearborn, and Melvindale, has just announced his next senior citizen conference. He does this once a year. It is the 11th annual. He started them when he was a representative to the state of Michigan in Lansing from this area. And this is the 11th annual Senior Citizen Conference. One day, actually just one morning. It's going to be Wednesday, June 10th. So a week from next Wednesday. I'm going to be attending. I've always sent my registration because it's free. They have free donuts and coffee and then a free lunch. Who said there's no such thing as a free lunch?
Donuts and coffee. Oh, that's the free breakfast.
That's the breakfast. Lord and then you get a free lunch, which I assume is more coffee and maybe a sandwich or salad or something. So let me tell you about this. If you've never heard about this before, might want to attend, but you have to register in advance. Now, he did send a mailing, and I assume if you're Allen Park Dearborn or Melvindale, and only those people get in free. I'm sorry. Well, it seems it's open to residents. Why? Because that is his
district
area that he was elected from, his district. So he's trying to do something for these people that voted for him.
They voted for him again.
Yeah, well, that's sure, of course. There's always there's that's why. That's right. And who knows how that's being paid for. But
yeah, he didn't. Well, he didn't. It's not coming out of his.
Well, they are going to have some vendor tables. And where is it going to take place? Okay, it's at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, Michigan Avenue, just west of Greenfield, right here in Dearborn, in the Dome Room. It's got a dome.
It does.
Yeah, big deal. I don't think
I haven't been in that.
That's what it's called. It's the largest room there. Sign-in and registration is 7:45 to 8:45 a.m. on Wednesday, June 10th. 8:45 is their welcome. Welcome. Welcome goes on for 15 minutes, so that's a heck of a welcome. They kiss and hug you, everybody. But in any event, somebody makes a word, he probably says something. And then from 9 o'clock to 11:45 is the program for the day, and they're going to have several speakers and different presentations on interesting and important topics, including public safety, legal aid for seniors, recreational and travel programs. And their featured speaker, big media celebrity, Chuck Stokes.
Really?
You know of him? He's the editorial director at WXYZ TV Channel 7. Chuck Stokes is going to be there. I don't know if I've ever seen him on TV, but
the name is so familiar.
Yeah, he's been with Channel 7 for a long time. Might have been a reporter for a while. I don't know.
Those special reports.
Mm-hmm. And then lunch, again, I have this underlined, 11:45 to 12:30. So you get an hour and 15 minutes to eat lunch after there. Also available, health screening, blood pressure check, information tables, and door prizes. So if you need a new door,
you might
win one. Yeah, you might win one on that day. Now, you must register by June 5th. So that is next week, Friday.
Well, today's the 29th, so.
I know, but June 1 is a Monday, so the 5th is next Friday. So if you're listening to this show as our podcast, you still have until June 5th. And you can either mail to Commissioner Warrenchuk, you can go to email, you can call him by phone. I'll just give that here, but you can look him up somewhere. He's the Wayne County Commissioner, Gary Warrenchuk. Warrenchuk.
What's the telephone number? The
telephone number to register is 313-224-0934. One more time, 313-224-0934. That's the Senior Citizen Conference, Wednesday, June 10th, but only open to residents of Allen Park, Dearborn, and Melvindale. Sorry, Dearborn Heights. Sorry, Lincoln Park.
How about if you live in the Fairlane district of Dearborn Heights?
I don't. You give them a call. See what you can talk them into.
I don't
you
know.
But I'll be there and I'll see if I can find out what's going on. I actually have not attended in the past. So, but now that I'm officially a retired senior type person, I guess I have to check it out for you. Maybe we'll get some words recorded that you can listen to.
Maybe we ought to invite him here one time and listen to what he's got.
Well, we have, and sorry to say, he seems to be busy a lot. I don't take that as a snub if he really is busy and works on Friday, unlike our legislators who basically can go home or do whatever they want to from Lansing on Friday. Good for him. But I think and it's not a negative thing, but, you know, he was very savvy in changing parties from Republican to Democrat. And there's no term limits on Wayne County Commissioner, so he can keep running as long as he can keep getting elected.
Okay. Absolutely. Nice job, too. Pays $80,000.
Yeah. Plus, if he keeps a low profile, except for doing something that's all totally positive, free stuff for seniors, you know, whoever thinks that Wayne County does anything wrong or anything right, for that matter. So, it's not as controversial as being a representative to the legislature where we have these major economic problems and major financial problems. And Wayne County does, too. But he's not in the limelight as much, which means he avoids the chance to be harshly criticized. And so, I really think, and I understand, if this is true, although I guess I'm cutting him down a little, that he doesn't really want to give that many interviews to that many media because, well, either nothing is happening in Wayne County or he might say something he shouldn't, although he's very well spoken and he's very careful. I interviewed him, I think, three times during his career as a legislature here, and always seemed very straightforward, very honest, very direct. I didn't think he was ever hiding anything. He was sort of a maverick as a Republican. He wasn't always going along with the Republican Party. He was trying to help the Dearborn area primarily rather than the Republican Party. And so I think he's a good guy. But no, we haven't had him on, even though we've invited in the past probably a half dozen times since he became Wayne County Commissioner. And he always had something coming up on Friday.
You know what? Our congressional people are home. There's no, they're not in Congress. We should, during this time. Dingle's here. He's home.
Oh, really? Okay. It's summer vacation? Or?
No. Well, they're just not. I guess they have recesses. That's why Nancy Pelosi's in China. Mm. They don't work every day.
Huh. Okay. Well, let's take a look at the newspaper here. I know you circle some ideas, too. It's about halfway through. This is the new WHFR Journal.
Well, I give you a rest. You've been talking a lot. You got to.
Oh.
Clear your throat. Here's a short thing about interesting. Steel makers fined for improper reporting. Can you imagine the industry of the United States is now in the process of fining people?
Yeah, I thought that was great. I read
Double
that.
Eagle Steel right here at 3000 Miller Road has been ordered to pay $93,000 in fines for improperly reporting its hazardous and toxic chemical inventory, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency announced on Monday. The civil fine stems from an EPA complaint that the company failed to report many hazardous chemicals stored at the site in 2006-2007. Under the EPA's self-disclosure policy, Double Eagle reported the potential violations to the regulatory agency in August 2008. Among the noxious compounds not reported were sulfur acid, lead zinc, and hydrochloric acid.
Fred Sounds Roma. Bad to me.
Well, yeah, this gives us a chance to talk about environmental issues.
Well, I thought it's a good thing. I mean, whenever we see people, large companies, although I've never heard of Double Eagle Steel before, but
yeah, you drive down Miller, you'll see them.
On the I know of the Russian steel plant. What are they called? But
At Rouge.
No, Severstal.
Oh.
Yeah, Severstal is a Russian steel plant in this area. And don't they operate the Rouge plant, the Rouge Steel, or does Ford still operate Rouge Steel?
I thought they sold the Rouge Steel to a Japanese company. That's my memory.
No, Severstal is the bought the Rouge plant, I believe. If we're wrong, what the heck, folks? There's several steel plants here, but
well, the important thing is any
company that
we're losing everything
that pollutes the environment, though. If somebody doesn't crack down and give them significant fines and make them clean it up, then well, what's the incentive for other companies to stay clean or not to pollute? If nobody will punish us, let's just go on and do dirty stuff for the environment. So I'm always glad to see that the government.
Well,
it has to be the government, folks. You know, there's nobody else to do it. Is finally cracking down, and that was an EPA started lawsuit, I believe.
Yeah.
So I think that's a wonderful thing. I found this one that I think we told that they were thinking about it, but it's further along. Wyandotte is planning for a renewable energy plant. The city of Wyandotte has looked into the feasibility of a new sewage processing plant that would create clean energy for the city. And that's being reviewed, so it's not going to go there, but they've hired an engineering firm, Hubble, Roth, and Clark, Michigan-based. And they're looking at the viability, right, of $32 million plant planned to be built by American Bioenergy, a corporation that produces alternative fuels. In Wyandotte's case, the plant would process sewage sludge
right.
in an anaerobic digester. That anaerobic means not connected to the air, okay, without any oxygen there. And it produces biomethane to be used to generate electricity. And so, you know, that's a wonderful idea because we have a lot of
garbage,
and sewage in this case, and I could use nasty terms here. Wouldn't it be great to power our world from our
sewage.
Waste products,
right?
From our waste products. And Wyandotte is always looking into these things. They were the first community around here to have, public access of, for cable TV. I mean, the publicly owned, city-owned cable TV system. They have looked into solar power, and there is I think he's a Roman Catholic priest in Wyandotte, that he has his own solar-powered church. He put it in himself to save, and he was the only guy that had electricity in the last power outage here. He didn't even know he had a power outage because he had no problem whatsoever. He had both, I think it's wind power and solar, a combination, and the city was looking into that too. So good for Wyandotte of looking into these things. I know the city of Dearborn is contemplating some wind turbines to build along the Rouge River to supplement their energy needs in the city of Dearborn and to save money for everybody too. But they need that stimulus package. Wind turbines are not cheap. It seems like processing your own waste is a really good idea, but we have a lot more waste maybe than Wyandotte.
Well, it's like everything else. To create the technology to take advantage of something that's being not utilized costs more than to do it the regular way for mm-hmm. a while.
Right.
Until you get everybody in on a deal.
And all of the cost involved for bonding this project will be incurred by private investors. So it's, you know, the city doesn't have any out-of-pocket money they have to worry about, but they will get the benefit of it. Everybody will be a winner. And I love to hear about projects like that. I know the city of Dearborn has got some coming, but here's another city of Dearborn story. Maybe Ned circled it too. City's paid parking is cussed and discussed. Once more. That's in the headline. I didn't make that up, folks. That's the headline or the top story. It's not the big headline story of the Press and Guide. That's right, at the City Council. Here's the story from the Press and Guide Wednesday, May 27th. The city's paid parking system came under fire yet again earlier this month during budget talks between Mayor Jack O'Reilly, Finance Director Jim O'Connor, and members of the Dearborn City Council. At the May 18th meeting, Councilman Doug Thomas, and we know Doug, of course, he's been against paid parking, and he had the ballot initiative he started, and
he's right. I won't go over there, and I won't park in their Dearborn things.
Well,
I'll go someplace else where I don't have to do that.
I pay the 25 or 50 cents or whatever, but I don't go as much as I used to because certain businesses have closed. I think that's the other problem there. If they had more businesses, I mean, it's which is the cart or the horse, you know, putting cart before the horse, which comes first, chicken or the egg, whatever. I used to always go over there and visit the Little Professor bookstore, mm-hmm. the best bookstore in this area, and had tons of magazines, and I love magazines because they're also up to date. Whereas most books, although I read a lot of books.
Little Professor still open?
No, Little Professor closed as soon as it was announced there would be paid parking. Although the owner was ready for retirement. You know, he was in his late 60s. But he thought it was totally.
That's just a baby, wouldn't you?
Yeah, totally kill his business because people, he felt, go stop for 15, 20 minutes and go back out with their newspaper or whatever. Of course, I used to linger for hours reading all their stuff for free. I'm sorry. And we have a special guest coming in the studio. But anyway, we're not sure where that's going to lead. User paid parking is expected to generate $900,000 in the upcoming fiscal year, but it's still more than $85,000 short of the operating cost. So again, we're not making our cost with those lots, but I'm surprised we're making $900,000 from parking. But we have to pay.
What cost? What's the cost?
No, well, the cost are basically
underpaid person sitting in the.
No, it's the parking towers. They had to build two parking towers, and those buildings cost a fortune to put up. And yes, we need real live people there. Now, the other parking areas, they're all metered, and there used to be real people sitting there, probably for minimum wage, and you could buy a parking pass or pay your ticket in and out, but they couldn't afford that, so they got rid of the people and just put in meters in all the lots. And it's cost them a fortune. They had to redesign the lots because the lanes were too small and the entrance curbs were too small for people with their big cars to drive in and out without hitting the curb. So they've had to spend a lot of money, Ned, besides the parking towers, on rebuilding and reconstructing these paid lots. And of course, because they made them paid lots, they fit fewer cars because they had to put up fences and limit access. Oh my gosh. And so I just thought it was interesting, and you can read it for yourselves, folks, on the Press and Guide, that the the title of the story on the front page of the Press and Guide from Wednesday.
Cars in the structured parking?
Actually uses the word cussed. Can we say that on the radio, Susan
sure.
McGraw?
Yeah.
Okay. Our general manager is in here, and she's, besides being our guiding light and the person that does most of the work around here, she's going to tell us about the holistic fair called the Festival of Enlightenment that WHFR, your favorite radio station, the one to which you are listening right now, is going to be putting on tomorrow right here on campus. So let's find out what mic you're on. Hi, Susan.
Well, yeah, hello. I was going to say.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
Tell me about everyone. The Festival of Enlightenment from 11 to 5 tomorrow.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We are going to have a beautiful day, whether it's pouring outside or not, at our Festival of Enlightenment, first ever holistic fair that we are coordinating and hosting here at WHFR. And you might be thinking, well, what does that have to do with WHFR? Well, first of all, just very simply, we do have a very exciting program heard once a month here in our Saturday talk show lineup called Metaphysically Speaking. And it was actually out of sort of the brainchild of that host, Mike Holloway, who thought, you know, there could be a market to bring in some vendors of a metaphysical or holistic nature into our college for an event for people in the community to come in and really partner with and get services from really, really exciting vendors on this subject and in this field. It's all fundraising for WHFR, first mm-hmm. and foremost. So think of that. If holistic world is not your thing, well, come to WHFR's Holistic Fair anyway, because proceeds, $5 a person, benefit WHFR directly.
You mentioned the word fair here, and some of the areas, the generic name for this event is a
sure.
holistic, that is H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C,
yes.
fair. But ours is going to be, I think, a little more special because we're going to have some people speaking. I think 45-minute lectures throughout the day, one after the other. It starts at 12 noon each hour after
right.
that. And what are some of those topics?
Sure. Topics will include body, mind, spirit issues of a general nature, sort of being the change you want to see in the world. That actually is the subject of our 1 o'clock sort of keynote address, and that's with our own HFCC's wonderful, wonderful person here on campus by the name of
Bill Seacrest, our world religions professor.
Yeah,
Bill Seacrest.
We were hoping to have Bill here today, but
yeah, he's on a
trek. Yes, I understand.
I think it's a metaphysical trek, probably.
I hope it
for
is.
Bill,
he's
most
prepping
things
for
are.
Tomorrow, actually.
Yes, he is.
Most
I'm sure.
likely, yes.
Yeah.
We will have somebody speaking on Bach flower remedies, and I know, Jay, you've sort of learned about Bach flower for the first time.
Yeah.
I know we had a conversation the other day about that.
What on earth is that?
Well, it's
you
not.
You have
it's
to
not,
come to find out.
Yeah, it's
okay,
not.
Okay, you need $5 to get in.
That's
okay.
right.
Bad joke is it has nothing to do with Beethoven flowers.
That's right.
No, it's Bach.
That's Bach.
Yeah,
this is just Bach.
This is just Bach.
That's right. That's
Bach
right.
to Bach.
That's right. We'll have Darlene Supel, who will be presenting as well on subjects of just really being the best you can be. You know, I know the some of the topics might sound, oh, that sounds sweet. Well, this is more than sweet. This is really trying to just get things in a great way in one's life. And if you've already got a wonderful life going on, well, let us help you learn how it can be even better. And it's not always about me. It's about giving back to others. And I know some of our speakers, as well as some of the vendors and participants there, will be focusing on what we can do to be a positive influence in the lives of others. So some spiritual, some metaphysical, all of a holistic vein. Very excited about the body workers. We've got a great variety of people, vendors, readers, body workers, but some of the body workers, some state-of-the-art technology that I've never seen demonstrated before. So you will have an opportunity as a participant in this fair to actually purchase some of the services, massages. There's a green massage therapist coming in with a very reasonable green style massage therapy, which I understand should be wonderful.
Just a caveat here, as we say on this show, our opinions expressed here are those only of our participants, not necessarily Henry Ford Community College. And the vendors, we have tried to screen them with to see who's been doing business in the local area professionally and have a good reputations. Even though it may be things that other people have not heard of before or not experienced before, we've done our best there, but we cannot take any responsibility directly for you know, the body workers or the fortune tellers or whatever in terms of the results you're going to get. But it will be fun and interesting, and we hope everybody can come and explore and do it with an open mind, mm-hmm. just to see what's going on. We haven't had such an event right here, easily located in the Dearborn area. Forever. I don't know when the last one might have been.
And you would know. You've been here a long time.
Well, I've only gone to such events outstate when I've been on vacations or something and desperate for something to do. And it is very interesting. Again, some people might be selling. I don't know if we have anyone doing crystals.
Mm-hmm. We have some clothing. We have products like Herbalife and those types of supplemental things for, you know, vitamin purposes.
All supposedly to make your life better, but well, who knows if it works or not. Remember, the most effective drug that's ever been put out there is a non-prescription. It's called placebo.
I've heard of that.
It works 30% of the time whenever it's starting to be used by anybody. For any problem you have, whether it's dandruff or whatever, in other words, the power of the mind, let's say, placebo is usually an inert substance, sometimes a sugar pill, as it used to be called, mm-hmm. which means...
A non-drug.
It's not a drug. But if people think that what they're getting, if it was prescribed by a doctor, that some doctors maybe still do this, they actually prescribe pills that are nothing. They're inert. But because the person got one from the doctor, they take it. And it's been proven... Not exactly 30%, but whenever they always have to do drug tests with with another group that doesn't realize they're taking a placebo, mm-hmm. something that is not supposed to do anything. I mean, just totally inert, but doesn't hurt them, and they find placebos work pretty well. So the test of a new drug is, can it be better than a placebo? And which is crazy. So maybe they're just pushing placebo things here. But if it works for you,
that's right.
It still works. So we're real excited about this. It's all set up, or it's going to be set up by tomorrow morning, 11 a.m., mm-hmm. in our Administrative Services and Conference Center, the Mazzara Building, just south of our Student Center, where WHFR is located here. We're on Evergreen Road, south of Ford Road.
Former UAW
Ford Building.
That's right. And again, for the price of just a $5 admission charge, all benefiting WHFR, your favorite radio station, you get to experience looking into the vendors, the readers, the body workers. Again, some will offer free samples of things. Others will have small fees for some of their products or services. So you might want to bring a little extra cash on hand. We'll also have some healthy snacks and beverages available to purchase. But one of the areas I want to cover, first of all, remember, if you can't make it at 11, if you can't get here until 3, well, so be it. Again, we are full force from 11 until 5 p.m. So stop in when you can. Expect to spend a good couple of hours, but we're looking forward to a great event, free parking and all that good stuff. But one big topic this time around, and I think people, not just people listening to your show, but in general life experience these days, can understand the concept of stress and stress management. So many of the people involved as presenters and body workers and so on will be focusing on alternative stress management things like yoga, Reiki, different types of energy work and that kind of thing. So I think we can all relate to a little bit of a higher stress level these days. So what better way to try to combat it?
I do a lot of Reiki in the fall season on my front yard.
Oh,
that's not the same thing.
Not the
same thing. Okay, this is R-E-I-K-I,
that's right.
And it is pronounced Reiki. We have this on good authority, Reiki. And it's sort of a hands-on, but it's no touching
that's
involved.
Right.
That there's something about magnetic aura of these people that can sort of make you feel better.
Really?
So it's massage without touching. Imagine.
I actually have to bring my wife. She's constantly in pain.
Well, give it a try. I mean, again,
there's a joke there, but I won't share it. Yeah,
Well, we can't promise anything here. As I said,
right.
We're just giving some alternatives.
I keep telling her to try anything.
Well, there you go. And also note, certainly readings and things are provided truly for entertainment purposes only, and we make that very clear.
People can go from one table to the other. They can probably get some printed information for free. They can talk to the people. They don't have to buy the service at that point. They can just find out about things. That's what college is all about, we'd like to believe, is education about a wide range of possibilities for your life. Certainly in terms of medical science, we're not saying anything against traditional medicine at all. That is good. If you need to be cut open, I'm sorry, if you need surgery to solve a problem, then traditional doctors know exactly how to do that for
a
small fee.
That goes,
right? Yeah. quad bypass recipient. They know where to cut, let's say, but for us, for a price, okay. But anybody that does good for you is going to charge a professional fee anyway. The other thing is they know their prescription pills, but maybe you don't need prescription pills. You've got to explore. For some people that, you know, I wish I had it here, but Steve Martin has a great funny routine he did when he was a stand-up comic, and it's on one of his albums from the past called Placebo, that he found this new drug, you know, he acts like a dumb guy that his doctor gave him, and it's just fantastic, and he just blows his mind every time he takes it, and the punchline is the end of the joke when he says the drug is called Placebo.
Must be French, right?
Yeah, right. doesn't realize what that is. But,
you know, a lot of people would be listening don't understand the meaning of holistic. Mm-hmm.
Of holistic.
Well, yeah. It does, you know, talk about your...
You know, it goes into palm reading, fortune telling. There's a lot of aspects to this in a way that a lot of people are wondering, what are we talking about?
Yeah, in fact, the term for doctors, they're going... There's not too many doctors that say they do holistic. They're naturopaths.
No. Right.
Mm-hmm. Naturopathy or something.
Similar concept.
Which is alternative medical things. It's herbs and it's vitamins and it's supplements.
And it's looking at the whole body instead of just one area.
I mean, some doctors,
that's not part
I have a family practice doctor in Royal Oak that I had on the show once, in fact, and some doctors are more open to looking into family history, but family living conditions and stress issues in your life and weight issues. You know, it's better to be less chubby than more chubby. Anyway, and
less chunky is better.
Right. And so he's open to these alternative things that I've told him about at least a couple times and given him some special reading here. So let's just sum up on this. And I have a question for our general manager, which she wasn't ready for, but let's see if she can answer. She can answer anything, folks, believe me. You hear her voice, of course, on the spots that are WHFR spots during the Classical 24 music overnight. So if you're like, where have I heard that voice before? If you've listened to classical music on WHFR, there is Susan McGraw, our general manager, telling you what's going on locally and what people to thank for our service.
Along with Mindy Ratner.
Who?
The lady.
And many others. Wonderful.
Oh, from the Classical 24
wonderful
hosting.
Program hosts, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jillian something or other.
The event for tomorrow, right here at Henry Ford Community College, main campus, Evergreen Road just south of Ford Road, at the Administrative Services and Conference Building, former UAW Ford Building.
Turn right at the red building.
South entrance, please.
South entrance, yes. There's a free parking right there at that building. And even though there's signs saying staff only, I wonder if they're going to take those down for tomorrow. But
We'll cover them up.
But it's just for people attending the event. So I know event parking signs will be up there. Just south of our student center, which is another big building south of Ford Road. And so just the next one south of us before you get to Fairlane Town Center or U of MD. Okay. Anyway, 11 to 5. Okay, and special lecture presentations, which are free for the price of admission at 12, 1, 2, 3, and 4, I believe. Okay, so Festival Enlightenment, come and be enlightened. It's going to be a great experience. You don't need tickets in advance or anything. So hope to see you down there. Here's my question for our general manager now, though. Susan, have we been able to get a confirmation on the winner for the Ford Fusion weekend?
We have. I can tell you that the winner of our Ford Fusion weekend, 2010 Ford Fusion, who was one of the many wonderful contributors to our Radiothon, pledging $30 or more, and that was sort of the qualifying part of it. You also, of course, need to be licensed driver, insured, all that stuff. It is the wonderful Christopher from Dearborn.
Okay.
So he's
congratulations,
local
and Christopher.
He's a longtime listener and great supporter of our station. So we couldn't, you know, we want everybody to win, of course, but as there only can be one as we select this randomly, we're very excited that it went to a really nice guy. So
just like the Highlander, there can only be one.
That's right.
Okay.
Only one.
So Chris of Dearborn, congratulations. Christopher of Dearborn, congratulations, and hope you have fun with your 2010 Ford Fusion. He doesn't have to wait till 2010, though. They got the model ready for him sometime before the end of June to have a great weekend there. And thanks to all of course, our pledgers. We barely made our goal, but That's why we're doing events like the Festival of Enlightenment and other things throughout the year, that we got to keep coming at you in order to keep our great station alive and well here.
Well, they can always send a donation.
Always. Go to our website. Our new newsletter is coming out. Our website, whfr.fm. So thank you, Susan McGraw, for all of your general managing.
I think
you're doing a good job on the specific managing, too, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you. And thanks for your time to allow me to talk about this exciting fair.
Of course. Any chance to get somebody's voice other than mine and Ned's?
Well, you know, there's a couple more pennies to be made on Saturday.
Absolutely. But it's going to be fun. I'm going to be there all day, Susan, too. And I don't know if Ned is signed up.
Yes, I did. But I think my Macintosh Leshland is between 12 and 3, but 12 and 2, but I have to check that when I go home.
He's still trying to learn the simplest computer out there. He needs to take lessons, but good for you, Ned.
It's $99 a year. It's the best deal. Once a week for 50 minutes, somebody...
That is cheap for instruction, professional instruction.
Well, everything at the Mac store is very expensive. This is cheap.
Well, good for you. Education is always the answer. Of course, there's a lot of options for that. Some of it's not as strong, but we use all Macintoshes here at the station. Not an ad, but in the telecom building where we have everybody from art to music as well as telecom, Mac computers throughout there.
At the telecom, then. Yeah. Telecom, too.
Yeah, right.
How about the people that are using PCs? Do they have any trouble?
That's the rest of the campus, yeah, because Data and Voices, we have to hire special people at the college, a team of people to go around fixing the PCs. But we don't need their help. They won't help us anyway. They don't know Macs. All the teachers, we keep all the Macs going because it's minor. It's usually always minor. Oh, you know, if there is a major equipment failure, and hard drives after 3 to 5 years usually go belly up and you have to get those replaced or get a new machine.
They don't crash and they don't freeze up. That's one.
That's right. Yeah, no, we've had just great experience, and it's too bad that more businesses didn't go with Mac in the first place, because they would find lower operating cost across the board. And there's almost nothing today, especially with the Intel chip Macs, that you can run those Windows programs just fine if you have to, even on a Mac. So, but anyway, good. We hope to see you there. If people ask, you'll...
Now that we were talking about our fusion, listen to this thing I found in the newspaper. Someone has sent a hoax email. Dearborn, file this one under "if it looks too good to be true." Mm-hmm. Officials at the Ford Motor Company this week said an email circulating the World Wide Web offering recipients a 2010 Ford Fusion Hybrid for nearly half of its suggested sale price is a hoax and should be deleted. The email, which is rife with grammatical and syntax errors, says that because of the ongoing automobile industry struggles, Ford is selling 500 Fusion Hybrids for $15,500, or about 45% of the vehicle's base price of $27,200.
Right.
In an effort to raise capital and avoid governmental loans.
Not true, folks.
Not true.
No.
Not true.
In fact, if you get anything on the internet or by mail or a direct phone call, if it's too good to be true, don't go for it. It probably is not true. Okay? It's a good criteria to use. Don't give them any of your basic numbers. Even birth date could be risky, as well as Social Security, credit card numbers. None of that. Don't fall for it. You can call the Dearborn Police to check on it for you, or just stay away from this kind of crazy scam. Ford is not doing that badly. They have to sell cars at half off. Okay, that's not happening.
Sell them at a third off.
Yeah. I've got another update here, and we'll have to conclude with this. Just so Ned, you probably got some other stories, but we just don't have time.
Well, actually, I left my watch at home, and I wasn't sure time we were.
Well, it's two minutes.
Oh, that's right. There's
the big clock right in
the big one in
shelf
the corner.
Okay. The city of Dearborn did a phone survey for $14,000to get residents' thoughts on broad-ranging topics like what they like most about the city, to what services should be cut if current economic trends continue their downward slide. Cost them $14,000, and now they think it wasn't done well, that it's biased towards seniors. And, of course, I thought seniors were over 50% of the adult population in Dearborn, but it says here that's not true. Nope, that they're not. But of the 400 recipients, 58% were ages 56 or older, and AARP lets you join at age 55, so that's sort of like...
50.
I think you're right. It is 50, but
which is ridiculous.
In the city of Dearborn, you can't usually get a senior discount unless you're 65. So sorry, folks. But anyway, and it looks like it's skewed. And the reason for that is many people, like myself, we don't have a listed home phone number.
That's it.
The survey by phone has no way to contact people that have cell phones.
And how many people? All the young people only have cell phones.
Or some people don't have their phone number listed for privacy reasons. So... I'm sorry to say, and I don't think it was the mayor that thought of this, probably, I'm sorry, Public Information Office. Sorry, folks, there, if it's one of you that came. Well, I think it was a bad idea to spend $14,000 that way. But what's $14,000 more or less when the country is dealing in billions and trillions,
they
right?
They didn't learn anything other than the youth are fleeing. They're not, in other words, if you're going to develop projects right. in the city, if you right. read that article
yep.
and think you're going to attract young people.
Yep, that's
guess what?
That's
they're
exactly
not,
right.
They're not around.
I mean, they just compensate for the numbers. They can you know recalculate what the results are to be in alignment with that. So that's the story for today, folks. Thanks for listening to the new WHFR Journal. Thank you, Ned Apigian, for sitting in, and you are now an official candidate for city council in Dearborn Heights?
Yep, in November.
Okay, well, we'll give you and maybe some of the other challengers
we'll
a chance
here.
To have an equal say. So don't judge
October.
Ned by anything he said today. Wait until he talks about what he could do as a council person.
Just kick out all the incumbents.
Yeah. Hope to see you tomorrow at the Festival of Enlightenment here at the Henry Ford Community College campus from 11 to 5. Tell your friends, neighbors, enemies, whoever. This is going to be all kinds of new ideas and should be a lot of fun. All indoors, folks. So don't even if it looks like it might rain, all it's supposed to be a good day. Come on by anyway in the beautiful Administrative Services and Conference Center right here on campus. So that's all I have to say for now. It is 2:00. This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for Highway 61 with Joanne Korchinska starting right now. Take care out there.
That I know it run from the twins.